It is great to be here. It is great to sing and just to let God hear how much we love Him. We are on a journey. We are on a pilgrimage. And that is what the Psalms of Ascent are all about. And as we go through this, and I hope you got your Bibles with you, and I hope you're turned to Psalm 127, because that's going to be our text this morning. And this is all about taking a trip, this pilgrimage that we are on called the Christian life. That's called in Scripture, we are on the way, the Christian way, trying to live this life of Christ in a broken and depraved world. And so this morning, the next step that we are taking on this pilgrimage is a question about work. So the question is, to work or not to work? That is something that a lot of people ask every day. Should I work today? Some of those people will say no. We ask that, and then others, will I work? Absolutely, I work every day. Psalm 127 is a window into this concept, this unavoidable reality that is work. The fact is that work is unescapable. It's unavoidable. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and He put man in the middle of the garden, there was work to be done. After sin entered the picture, God said there's going to be thorns, there's going to be thistles, there's going to be weeds, you're going to, earn this by the sweat of your brow. What He was saying is that because of sin, work gets harder, but work was there in the beginning. It is an unavoidable, unending reality. And this psalm teaches us about work, about the work that God wants us to do. And because work is unavoidable, because it's unending, a lot of times we think that effort alone will justify just about anything we do. As long as I'm working at something, then it's got to be good. But effort alone doesn't justify anything. The problem is that so often in our religion, we take on that attitude. That as long as I'm working really hard, as long as as long as I'm busy, then I'm okay. Well, that's not always the case. We can have effort that isn't justified. See, work is either good or it's bad. And I want to go through, if you got your order of worship on the back, there's some things that you can fill out and follow along. And there's two, work has two options to it. Because it's unavoidable, because it's it's unending, because it's a reality of our life, there's two options to it. In work, either sin is magnified or faith is matured. Let me explain what I mean by that. Either sin is magnified or faith is mature, because it's the nature of sin to take something that is good and to skew it and to twist it and to make it something that's bad, to pervert it. We've seen that from the very beginning. Something like food. God put man in the garden, and he put all this food around him. And He said, look, this food is to sustain you. This food is for your enjoyment. But this food is a choice between good and evil. And so what Satan does is he comes along and he attaches sin to it. And he takes this food that is for our enjoyment, for our sustenance, and he twists it, he perverts it, and he makes it something that's bad. We chose against God. And the rest, as they say, is history. Sin does the same thing to work. It becomes something that God intended for our good, and He makes it bad. Or, in our faith, it's matured. You see, a requirement of discipleship is to learn the ways of sin, how it skews nature, and submit to God's will. So the way that faith is matured through our work is that we realize that everything we do is for the Lord. And so we analyze what's going on in our minds. Why am I doing this? We have to be, if our faith is to be matured, we have to be real and honest and answer the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing this in order to promote myself? Am I doing this in order to promote my wealth? Am I doing this in order to control my surroundings and those who are around me? Or am I doing this work to edify myself and others and God, to lift Him up and to do His will? See, Psalm 127 guides Christians in work. As Hyatt so eloquently read, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders work in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early, and in vain you stay up late, toiling for food to eat, but He grants sleep. He grants rest to those He loves. You see, there are two options when it comes to the sin of work. And we have to guard against these two options. And so the first thing that, you know, the first warning that over the bow here that the psalmist, that Solomon writes, is you have to guard against the way that sin skews this inevitable reality of ours. We have to guard against Babel or Buddha. Now, in this passage, I doubt Buddha was on the mind of Solomon. Maybe. But for sure, Babel was there. Think about the Tower of Babel as we read about it in Genesis, about the people there laboring to be just like God, laboring to put themselves on a level with, on a level playing field with God, to achieve anything that they could to be 100% in control in of their environment, of their standing with God. That was their goal. You see, they thought, well, we can be God by doing everything. And we believe that. That we can 100% be in control of everything that is around us, our finances, our social network, everything. You know, if I just work hard enough, I can provide everything that I need for myself with my time, my talents, my this, my that. I'm in control of all this, and I can build my own tower to be equal with God. Or, like, and that's really a Western religion or Western mentality. And there's the Eastern mentality. I can be God by doing nothing. I can just, at some point, I can ponder and become one with this or that. And so then we have a big, giant, obese God like Buddha who just sits and stares at his own navel. That's the whole idea. And we see that in Scripture. We see people that do that, whether it's the Thessalonians that Paul said, look, guys, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you choose to do nothing, because there's scriptures like Matthew 5 where it says, or Matthew 6 where it says in the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. They don't toil or spin. And God provides everything. So you have people that say, if I just do nothing enough, then God's going to provide, or I'll become one with the universe, or one with the planet, and everything that I need will be fulfilled. The problem is that God's saying, look, that passage is about worry. It's not about work. Just do the work that you need to do. Just don't worry about the outcome. See, our problem is that we turn something good that God's given us, like work, which fulfills our purposes, and we worry about it. We worry about having enough. We worry about having enough money. We worry about having enough status. We worry about having enough success. And He says, don't worry about that, because God's going to provide everything that you need. So we have to be on our guard. We have to be realistic. Work is inevitable. It is an unending reality. So we have to understand that Satan's going to try and skew it, isn't he? He's going to try to take it and make it something that it's not. So we have to guard against that. We have to guard against being Babel or Buddha. And those who would think that, work has become this sinful thing. Work is not a sin because God does it. If we want to be like God, then we better be working. He says, look, he doesn't say don't build the tower. He doesn't say don't watch over the city. He doesn't say don't rise up early or don't stay up late. He says, make sure that God's in the middle of it. Make sure that what we are working for, why we are working for it, is all about God. You see, God is eternal, and in the beginning, God worked. Look at the week of creation. It was a week of work. God is working, and he's working for a very specific reason. He's fulfilling a purpose. See, our work, the work that he gives us to do, is fulfilling a purpose. The fact is that God is still working. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we working on, and how do we go about the work that we are doing? In Colossians 3 and 23, it says, whatever you do, whether you're working, whether you're talking, do it to the glory of God. Do it as though you are working for God. When people feel unfulfilled in the work that they're doing, or when the work that they're doing is taking over their life, it's usually because we're working for some other reason besides God. We're working to fulfill our own purpose, working to fulfill our own agenda and not God's. In Philippians 1 and 6, he said, Paul is talking to the Philippians, says, I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will continue it on to completion. God is continually working. But God's continually working on something for his glory. The work that he's doing in us is for his glory. The work that we should be doing, again, is for him. And so then it takes a turn. He says, unless the Lord builds the house, labors in vain. Unless he watches over the city, watchmen guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late. He's talking about work. And then he makes this peculiar switch. It seems unconnected. So now he starts talking about family. Now he starts talking about people. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Now, there's some passages that people take figuratively, and there's some passages that people take literally. I've taken this passage literally. My quiver is full of them, and sometimes gets fuller. But why does he take this peculiar turn and say, you know, we're talking about work and building towers, watching over the city, doing all these things and doing them in vain. And then he makes his turn and starts talking about family, starts talking about people. Because the thrust of this entire psalm, the point that he's trying to make is that as we work, as we go through this life, doing things to fulfill our purpose, we need to work on things that really matter. What are you working on? What are you trying to accomplish? What he says about this is that people matter. Individuals matter. There are two things in this life that we encounter that are eternal: people and the Word of God. Everything else that we encounter is temporary, is on the sideline. And the point that the psalmist is making, what Solomon is trying to tell us, is that, guys, we spend all of this time, all of this effort, and all of these resources, and we're working on things, we're building things that do not last, that aren't important. And he's saying, guys, you don't get it all wrong. And as we're going on this pilgrimage, and as the Israelites are walking up to Jerusalem, remember the geology, the geography of this pilgrimage, as they're walking up, as they're leaving all of their normal lives behind, quote unquote, everyday life. They're leaving it all behind, and they're singing these psalms, and they're going up, and they're talking about joy, and they're talking about this. Maybe some of them are thinking about, oh, this is great, but what about all the work I'm missing? When I get back to the office, think about all that stuff that's piling up. And this psalm is written so their minds can be brought back to the fact that what we work on in the regular world, in the real life, has the potential of being meaningless if it isn't somehow drawing us closer to one another, serving other people, and building relationships that have the potential of eternally glorifying God. I mean, how many times do we suffer from that very plague. I mean, we're sitting here and, you know, maybe we've had a tough week at the office. You know, there's so much going on and there's so much work to be done, and we're here, but our mind is 1,000 miles away. Maybe not 1,000 miles, because, you know, Toll Home is not that big in Coffee County, but, you know, but it's at least like 8 miles away at the office. We're just thinking about, oh, yeah, okay, you know, my God is so good. Sing with me. My God. Oh, man, I got that report I got to get done. Oh, yeah, communion here. Oh, man, what about, oh, we're going to, much longer is this going to be? I mean, there's so much work to be done. I got to get the grass mowed. I got to get this done, get that, because it's going to be a tough week at the office. And, you know, and then we got those people coming in, and then I got this. I mean, we're on a pilgrimage, not unlike the one that they were on. And here's a psalm that comes along that says, you know, oh, yeah, we're working for the Lord, working for the Lord. And then it starts talking about our kids, starts talking about our family, starts talking about people, and it says, guys, what's really, really important? You know, there's a saying that says, be careful who you step on the way up, because there's the one you'll meet on the way down. You know, Ward talked about it this morning in his class about us being a Christian nation. You know, and I believe we are. I don't know if we're a nation of Christians. But how in the world would a nation of Christians come up with a slogan or a saying or a poster that says, be careful who you step on the way up? Because that's got to be kind of a way things are done, isn't it? Oh, we are in a step, you know, and I really don't care about people. I just care about advancing this or advancing that, getting my way or controlling this. And God is saying, whoa, 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 whoa. In your hurriedness, in your desire, in your lust, in your greed, you've missed it. It's about people. It's not about stuff. It's about relationships. It's not about status. People matter. And this isn't just about family. He uses that metaphor, you know, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children are a reward. You know, he uses that, but generally he's saying that relationships matter. It isn't just about how much stuff we can have. It isn't just about how much, you know, we can accumulate. It isn't about how we can be thought of or feared. It's about the relationships. It's about what are we really working on? What are we really doing? Because one of the things that I know from all of the funerals that I've ever conducted or ever been to, it's all about how we're remembered, isn't it? I mean, because we know that this life comes and goes. But how are you remembered? He doesn't say that if you build nice towers or nice houses, and remember that a house, and if you've read the article that I wrote for the bulletin, house is a metaphor for our lives. He doesn't say that if you build a big tower, beautiful house, this and that, you know, if you really stand watch or you're really diligent, you know, that he doesn't say that that's what you'll be remembered on. He's saying the relationships that you form, that's what you're remembered on. That's our heritage. That's our legacy. And when it comes right down to it, what we're remembered by is how we treated other people. How important were other people to us? So in this pilgrimage, as we are walking, as we are traveling, going from where we are to where God wants us to be, remember, that's the word picture he's painted. We're going from our normal lives, walking to the city of Jerusalem to worship God. And each one of us, Romans 12:1, are living sacrifices, going, presenting ourselves to God as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing. As we are doing this, we come across this and says, God, what are you? And God says, what are you working on? What are you laboring for? Are you forming relationships, or are you stepping on people to get ahead? We have a work week ahead of us. What are we going to work on? Are we going to labor in vain? Are we going to build in vain? Are we going to watch over and guard in vain? Are we going to rise up early and stay up late in vain? Or as God is calling us, are we going to nurture and work on and foster what really matters? And that is our relationships. And it doesn't mean don't work. It means that while we are working, keep that perspective. That while I'm working alongside this person, doing whatever it is that I need to do in order to buy food, clothing, and shelter, and all this for my family, am I glorifying God? Will this person remember me as a person all about the will of God and the purpose of God, faithful to God? Or this person standing here working next to me think, well, all they cared about is money, status, and influence, and getting ahead, having the biggest and the best and the brightest, all of those things, fill in the blanks. This week, will relationships matter? This morning, we have an opportunity to build the most relationship, to begin the most important relationship that matters to any of us. And that is our relationship with God, and to build, to start with that very foundational reality that we need to work on and live within a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And you can start that relationship by confessing Christ as your Lord and Savior. We have a baptistry that's ready. If that's where you are and you need to be baptized this morning to begin walking in that most important relationship, you can do that. Or maybe you've allowed Satan to take this reality of work or anything and skew it, pervert it, make it something that God did not intend for it to be. Whatever your need is this morning. We're going to sing an invitation song. We're going to stand up and you can meet me in the front. We can pray about those things. Whatever your need is, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.